following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
If you don't think Sears' big Memorial Day event is the best place to go for home appliances, then you probably don't think baby talk sounds silly.
Aw, you don't need to cry. You're daddy's precious widow man. Yes, you are. Did somebody make a little boo-boo in his die-die?
Sounds like somebody needs to think again. Right now, get up to 30% off all Kenmore appliances and floor care, and up to 15% off all other appliance brands. Sears, think again. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 30%. Branded savings range from 5 to 15%. Offer valid 520 to 529.
Hey, man. Just want to say thanks for helping me move.
Whoa, are you giving me a thank you present?
What? Guys don't give guys thank you presents. These are just the new loaded cheddar and bacon potato skin ruffles. They taste like actual delicious potato skins, melted cheese and all.
So they're not a thank you present?
Of course not. Wait, are you crying?
No. It's just the nicest non-thank you present I've ever gotten.
Ruffles. Snack like you mean it.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's only local sports call-in show, featuring award-winning sports director Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis. Guests include local and regional sports figures, everyone from Big Ten head coaches and athletes to the top D2 NAIA and high school coaches and athletes. They analyze all sports from pro football to junior hockey. Join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line toll-free at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Email the Den Popper inbox at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Send us a tweet at ESPN1460-1550. Or send us a Facebook comment, facebook.com/ESPN Superstation. Let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Thursday morning, everyone. Another day closer to a 3 or 4 or 7 day weekend, depending on how much time you're taking off on Memorial Weekend. And for those that have to work.
Well, sorry.
Yeah. I guess they take other days off. Glad to have you along with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Recapping state golf. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with the state championship coaches, Steve Raymer of Sutton, Dan Bramer of Heartland Lutheran. Then Dirk Chatlin is going to join us towards the bottom of the hour from the Omaha World Herald, talking Big Ten, talking Huskers, and a variety of other topics. You can always follow Dirk Chatlin's blog on the Omaha World Herald website. And in the last portion of the show today, we head to Indianapolis. Kurt Cavan of the Indianapolis Star to preview this weekend's Indianapolis 500. Tomorrow, Shelley Smith from ESPN is going to join us talking about the Lakers. She's been on that beat. She's kind of been real busy here lately, not just with the Lakers and the California beat, but they've had her all over the place. And we'll catch up on what's going on in the NBA playoffs and maybe see what she thinks about USC. A lot of folks think they might be the number one football team in the country. A little college football tomorrow. Also, we will talk with Greg Hart, one of the oral commitments for the Nebraska football team. He is going to join us on the program tomorrow. So that's all in the next two shows here. We'll be off Monday for Memorial Day. NBA playoffs tonight. The Heat and the Pacers. There were suspensions yesterday, Daddy. Are you happy?
Yeah, you know, I think. Without a history for Pittman, I guess, you know, you give him three games and go on. I just thought it was such total boneheaded play that maybe it would have got five games or something like that. I mean, when you look at what World Peace did and you want to compare the two, I guess Pittman, for no history, I guess the three games is fine. Haslam, I know it was a retaliatory attack. I think the one game probably, okay, we can take that, move on. Hopefully people can. These flagrant fouls have got to be. I know they got flagrant one, flagrant two. Let's play basketball. Let's just play good, solid basketball. Somebody goes to the rim. You want a hard foul. I understand. That's NBA basketball. It's physical. I understand that. But let's play basketball. We're not on the streets of L.A. or New York. We're not in the inner city. We're playing in arenas. People pay big money to watch basketball. You know, if they want to go to MMA, they can pay big money to go see MMA. They don't need it in a basketball game. Separate the sports. I think the suspensions were fine. Really was surprised last night by the outcome of the 76ers-Boston game, though. I'll be honest with you, because I thought Boston take care of business and unable to do so.
All of a sudden this morning, Boston's old again. Oh, my God. Boston loses a playoff game. They're just too old.
Now it's sudden death.
Celtics are 17-4 at home in game sevens in the history of their franchise. 17-4.
Nice, nice statistic. I appreciate that. Good one. That's pretty good for the Garden and pretty good news for the Celtics. You know, 76ers, to be where they're at, I don't think anybody really gave them a legitimate chance. I know Boston respected their opponent, but everybody thought Boston was a better team. Then when you lose Derrick Rose at the Bulls, you thought, well, this is going to be a two-team race. But then Pacers step up, 76ers step up, made it a little bit interesting in the East. So there's your playoff basketball for the day.
Hockey, 5-3. New Jersey, New York, it's not like either one's home. They play at Madison Square Garden. Now they'll go to the Devils' home ice. But they technically went on the road last night, 5-3. So they're up 3-2, game six tomorrow. The L.A. Kings await the winner.
Yeah, and the goalie just terrible last night. And I think Barry Melrose said he will not be that bad ever again. Cannot be worse than he was last night.
I'm just so glad I took the Devils after the first round.
You did not.
I think Jeff can prove that.
Jeff?
He did.
See, once again!
The reasoning was is because he doesn't want you to have the Rangers advance the finals, so he'll say, I'll take the Devils.
Devils.
The deal was
Devils.
Over. The lunch was won
no,
after the first round. Yes,
no,
it was.
No, it wasn't.
Right now it's tied. If the Devils win, you guys are you're even.
Yeah.
The Rangers win, Daddy wins.
Kizer, again, 2-for-4 today. A couple of singles for Kale. Bases loaded. Sanguinetti's at third. Kalkowski's at second. Darby's at first. So good speed out there for the Huskers. First pitch to Kizer. Drills this one to right field. That's headed to the gap. That is going to be one hopping the wall. Sanguinetti scores. Here comes Kalkowski to score. Racing around third is Darby. It's a one-run game here in the ninth inning. A bases-clearing double for Kale Kizer.
That's been the season in a nutshell. Frustration, you get some highs, but in the end, it's another punch in the face for this team.
Seven runs in the ninth. You still haven't caught up. The tying run's on third. Pat Kelly is due at the plate. It's a 2-2 count against maybe the top save man in the league. 2-2, Daddy. 2-2 is the count. They've had to go to the bullpen. Michigan State had to bring in their closer.
90 feet away. To the second base. The dog to end the game. Ryan Jones climbs the ladder to snap the Nebraska comeback. Wow, an inch away from tying it.
He couldn't have jumped any higher. He snow coned it. He came down. It stayed at his glove. And Nebraska loses 10-9. First audio, of course, from the Nebraska Husker Sports Network with Greg Sharp. Second audio from the Big Ten Network. And so crazy finishes yesterday because now Nebraska plays instead of Ohio State, who shouldn't be in the tournament in the first place. They're playing Penn State. Ironically, the only two schools Nebraska didn't play in the regular season, they play here in the conference tournament. And Penn State blew a 5-1 lead going into the eighth. 3 in the eighth, 6 in the ninth for Ohio State. And they come back and win it by a score of 12-5. So Nebraska and Penn State about to get underway.
Yeah, about to get underway. And the losers that play, meaning Nebraska from yesterday, obviously playing in this first game, they will be one of these teams will be done and on their way home before either one of those winners ever take the field.
Yeah, well, we've already discussed the poor setup of this Big Ten tournament. So we'll see. Again, that's our view as Nebraska, the new guy coming in. Also, one other thing, I've got to comment on this. The pitching yesterday was a shame.
Oh.
It was horrendous. It's terrible. I mean, seriously, Tony, I'm going to say it. I could have stood up there and just guessed because they kept throwing breaking balls in the same part of the plate. Every other one. If they got ahead, then they'd throw a ball. If they weren't ahead, then they whatever happened to a fastball jamming a guy inside? I know you can't throw the fastball on the meat of the plate because all you got to do is tink it and it's going to leave the yard. But Nebraska just kept throwing changeups and Michigan State kept hitting bleeders through the middle. It wasn't like they had a home run, but it wasn't like they had hard hit balls in that sixth inning where they scored all the runs, where they scored 5 runs, sent 10 to the plate. It was an embarrassment.
Yeah, well, it's been an embarrassment a lot of the year, and we talked about it with, I don't know, with Sam McEwen, John Natawa were on, and I said, well, where's Darren Erstad? He's got to be just shaking his head with the pitching this year and saying, what is going on, guys? Because it's failed them all year long. We never did have that go-to guy. Never one time did we feel comfortable on a Friday night that we could go to the mound and have some confidence that somebody could shut them down. I mean, not one time this year did you feel comfortable against the other team's number one pitcher. And that's a shame. And I'm sure, you know, they said there's some junior college help coming. And I'm sure after yesterday, I mean, those coaches will disperse all over America. Ted Silva, Cal State Fullerton, was on the mound in the College World Series. He understands what pitching's about. The curveballs you're talking about, they started about mid-chest and were right in the middle of the plate at the knees every other pitch, at least.
It was disheartening. It was very disheartening.
It was sick. You're exactly right.
And just stick the bat out and get hits. And that's what Michigan State did yesterday. Nebraska did not... You can talk about making mistakes and making errors, but some of that's got to be on the pitching. So what if they're not Major League Baseball pitchers? Is that what they did in high school? I can't imagine the high school kids couldn't hammer the heck out of that stuff they were throwing yesterday.
No, it's not. You know, you cannot put the. It doesn't matter if you're playing 10 and 11 year olds. When you put the ball right over the middle of the plate, it gets hammered. You're talking about fastballs just at somebody's knees. They don't line those balls all over the park. They beat them into the ground. People get ground ball outs. That's what they couldn't do that yesterday. It was sick.
So Nebraska playing Penn State at this hour. Indiana will be taking on Ohio State. Purdue will be taking on Michigan State as well. So that's what we've got in the Big Ten baseball tournament. Three games today. If Nebraska wins, they'd have to get through two tomorrow, and it just keeps on keeping on. So it's not going to be easy for the Big Red. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And if you want to email us here in the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Dent Popper, home of the Armor Lining. A little hail last night. Daddy might have banged up the vehicle. Get it checked out at the Dent Popper. They'll give you the estimate, and then they'll take care of the work for you. As we saw a little dose of Nebraska weather last night. Rain, great. Hail, not so much.
Yeah, but I think a lot of the area, general area, got some rain. It was much needed, especially, you know, we're sitting here last full week in May, the wheat's turning and becoming combine ripe a month and 2 weeks early. That's not good. We need rain, and we got some last night, so that was good for everybody. Douglas said, Kyle Kubot has been the number, you know, one of the number one guys, or the guy they put out there. And if you don't last yesterday, those other teams are sitting there with their number one. It's going to be a tough road no matter what direction. If they'd have came back and won yesterday, I think you exhausted so many arms yesterday. How long could it carry you? But you're right. That was as sick as it gets. And, you know, Darren Erstad says all the right things in the paper. Well, it's one of life's lessons, how you bounce back, you know. And he's saying that, but at the same time, those coaches got to be having meetings saying, this deal's got to happen and got to happen fast, and it's going to come with junior college kids from all over, I got to think. I mean, you can't take a kid that's been pitching in the state tournament of baseball last year that was the number one guy, I don't care, for Creighton Prep, and parade him out there on Friday night in Big 10, Big 12 play. That's too big of a step. It takes some. You've got to totally learn a different ball game and learn how to pitch. Unless you're one of the elite, maybe if you're an Ehlers, maybe that happens.
Well, here's two pitching notes that will rub Nebraska fans the wrong way. Logan Ehlers finished his season 12-1, 1.17 ERA, struck out 1.2 batters per inning, likely to get drafted higher than the eighth round that he was selected in 2010. Ty Block, of course, earlier in the week, threw the complete game one-hit shutout for Creighton against the Missouri Valley Conference champions. in the opening round of the conference tournament. And now Creighton is in the winner's bracket of the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. The only way that they can get back to the NCAA tournament is to get the automatic bid because they have to win the tournament. They're below 500.
Is he eligible already, Ehlers, already for the draft this year?
Yeah.
Because he sat out?
I don't know. Don't ask me NCAA rules. I get tired of those, too.
Fair enough.
That's not an opinion. That's fact.
Fair enough.
It's also fact yesterday that the state golf tournament concluded in Kearney at Meadowlark Hills and at the Country Club in Lincoln at Highlands. And for the folks in Grand Island, more importantly, River's Edge in North Platte, where Hartland Lutheran, as we talked about it on Tuesday's show, had a shot to claim the first ever state championship, and they did that yesterday. And Dan Bramer, coach of the Red Hornets, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, welcome back to the program. It's always a good thing when you're on the show twice in a week because usually that means you've done something special and the kids were able to finish it off yesterday.
I agree. I wasn't expecting it, but, well, the call. we were hoping for the championship, but, you know, you just never know.
Dan, with the way the wind was, especially the first day, what were the conditions in North Platte where you guys were at yesterday? Were they better, improved, or the wind just terrible again?
Well, here's the thing about the wind. It was better on the second day, but it was a total switch of the wind. On Tuesday, it was out of the south. On Wednesday, it was out of the north. So it was just practically a whole different golf course the second day. So it didn't, you know, my 3 and 4 or 5 kids, it seemed to affect them a little more, but my 1 and 2 didn't seem to bother them at all. They were focused.
It wasn't a big lead, but you did have the lead going into the second day. So overnight, you've got the lead. Relaxing for the kids. What was it like overnight after sleeping on the lead?
Well, I have to admit to you, they were more relaxed than I was. They went to the pool, went to the jacuzzi, and they were really relaxed. At least I thought they were. And Coach Erbach and I, we were kind of nervous because I had said to him, "Gosh, I'd rather have been 1 or 2 behind, so they didn't feel like now they have to hold a lead." But as it turned out, obviously it was exactly what we needed.
Now, okay, different coaches have different philosophies when they send golfers out. Yesterday morning, do you gather them together, have a little team meeting, or you talk to each one of them individually before they go out?
Well, we did both. We had a team meeting, and recognizing that supposedly it was supposed to blow just as hard, it didn't end up blowing that hard. I told them, "Guys, these pins, the greens there are tough." I said, "You have no business going after these pins. You need to be middle of the green." Coach Erbach had that plan. In fact, we had that plan regardless of how the wind was blowing, that if they could get to the middle of the green, they would be good. And then we took our two, you know, our top two and said, you know, "Guys, you know, just play your game. You know you can do this. You just play your game. And, you know, don't get all upset if you have a bogey or double or something like that. Just, you know, keep working at it." And they followed it to a T. In fact, our number two kid had a card that he had written 3 things on, and he checked it almost every hole.
It takes discipline on the golf course, obviously, like it does in most sports, to get things done the right way. And we're talking with Dan Bramer, head coach of the state champions from Hartland Lutheran. Coach, what was the ride home like last night, having that big trophy, the first one for the Red Hornets?
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing about the trophy. They seatbelted it in to the truck. that baby wasn't going to be hurt in any accident. So we got a couple of pictures of it sitting in the back seat of a pickup that we brought, and it was it was secure.
Dan is excited.
Then when we got back, there was probably 100 people there ready to greet us, and that was neat too. There were 2 fire trucks, and so it was quite the homecoming.
Well, and well-deserved. And I guess on the flip side of that, you had your number 1 and 2 guys tie for second, 1 shot off of an individual championship. I'm sure that would have been a cherry on top. Talk about Sam and Garrett just missing out.
Well, it was closer than it looked because Garrett ends up double bogeying 18 to be out of it. And Sam put up put a putt right on the lip for a birdie on 18, and he would have been in it. So, yeah, that would have been a cherry. But, you know, those two have been battling for 4 years, and I thought, and they agreed, that this was just a proper way to end this, that they would be tied for a medal.
Well, Dan, congratulations from everyone here. Certainly a job well done. The kids deserve to celebrate now along with you. Awesome, awesome job. Congratulations on the school's first ever state championship.
Hey, thank you very much. It felt great and still does.
Well, a whole summer to enjoy it. Thanks, Dan. Dan Bramer.
All right, thanks.
Joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, head coach at Heartland Lutheran. Now, Shad Wellman of Elwood is your individual champion, so congratulations to Shad. He wins it by one shot over the two Heartland Lutheran kids and Preston Peters. Other medalists were Garrett Ring of Alma in sixth. Britton Ferguson medals for Elm Creek, and we are told by Coach Mubin that's the first medalist in Elm Creek golf history, finished in ninth.
Wow. Okay.
What happened to
Dan? Dan May?
Those must have been sand greens back then in the 20s. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Tanner Hayes of Alma, Matt Houston of Loomis, and Blake Brumbaugh of Red Cloud all tied for 10th place in the Class D competition.
Good, good. I know Creighton Prep in Class A shot a wonderful, just unbelievable, something you just shake your head at.
They were two over yesterday, eight over for the tournament, a 584. You don't shoot under 600, not anymore. They win it by 30 shots over Lincoln Southwest, who shot 614. Kearney had a 639. Had a lot of kids bunched in there right around the 20th spot, couldn't get a medal. Josh Heinrichs of Hastings did medal in 15th. Carson Shockey of Creighton Prep beat Mitchell Ryan of Millard North in the playoff. In Class B, Norris wins it. They pulled away for a 12-shot victory over Omaha Scutt. McCook was another two back. Aurora, another one back there. And Adams Central was ninth. Max Rutter of Norris, a one-shot winner over Sean Backer of McCook. Broken Bow's Tanner Johnson tied for fourth. Aurora had two medalists. Mitch Oswald tied for sixth. And Lucas Gross-Nicholas was ninth. Brady Barrett of Adams Central struggled yesterday, but still medaled and finished in a tie for 12th. We're still efforting Steve Raymer, head coach at Sutton, after they edged Kearney Catholic by one shot yesterday, and Plainview by one shot. Quite the finish there. We'll take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. Hassle-free pricing means the lowest price on every vehicle every day. Two-year free warranty. Midway's exclusive pre-owned certification. Two-year free roadside assistance applicable on certified vehicles. 30-day exchange privilege applicable on certified vehicles. Cash for your trade whether you buy from them or not. And, of course, you can always check them out online at thinkmidway.com. Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald. Kurt Cavan, Indianapolis Star, to talk Indy 500. Still to come on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Making your facility greener can seem hard. Not necessarily rocket science hard, but at least 5,000-piece puzzle of a clear blue sky hard. Fortunately, Grainger can help with thousands of products, from lights to faucets to greener cleaning supplies that help lower energy costs and impact on the environment, so you get all your green products right in place without falling to pieces. You know, like a puzzle. To help reduce your costs with greener products, call, stop by a branch, or visit Grainger.com/green. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have a better day. Build your better breakfast at Subway.
Only Subway has a deal this flat-out delicious. The $3 flatbread breakfast combo. Choose from three toasty 6-inch flatbread breakfast sandwiches and a 16-ounce coffee or refreshing 21-ounce fountain drink. All for only $3. The Subway $3 flatbread breakfast combo.
Build your better breakfast at Subway.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. May not be combined with coupon offers or discount cards plus tax where applicable. Additional charge for extras.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Imagine a whole street lined with truck after truck after truck. Crew cabs, extended and regular cabs, equipped just the way you like them. Call it Silverado Avenue and come see it at Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Kearney. There's over 60 to choose from, and the savings are staggering. Take over $10,000 off select models with your 99 or newer trade-in. If your sights are set on a summer vacation, there's no better family-friendly vehicles than the Chevrolet Traverse or Buick Enclave. Seating up to 8 and savings up to $5,000 makes this a Best Buy. 42, that's the number. Up to 42 miles per gallon. With the new Chevrolet Cruze Eco, you'll be proudly passing gas stations left and right. Think you can't afford new? Then you haven't priced the 40-mile per gallon fuel-efficient Sonic. With the industry-leading 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, you can't go wrong. Park one in your driveway for under $16,000. See it and save at the home of the hassle-free deal, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Finishing off the 2012 high school sports season, we just chatted with Heartland Lutheran state champion coach Dan Bramer. Now, Steve Bramer from Sutton as they win the knee knocker yesterday. You know, Daddy, it's not like there's 4 seconds left. They're inbounding the ball, down one. It's not like Ethan Kreitz from Giltner is going to throw in a three at the horn and everybody knows what happens. You kind of think you know what's going on, but you got to wait for the scorecards to come in. And when it's a one shot either way, you got to wait for them to post it. Coach Steve Bramer joins us again on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, when did you congratulations again, and when did you officially know? Did you know walking off 18 that you guys had got it done?
Well, you know, if our math was correct, we kind of knew that Reed Wiebe had put his second shot up on the green, and if he three-putted, we were going to get a one-stroke lead. And we figured, you know, the odds of him doing anything more than three-putt were about 1 in 1,000. So if we had learned anything in math class, our kids had it figured out, and we were good to go. So, but up until that point, I'd say if you had asked me back on hole 14 what our chances was, and they were pretty slim. Just some chain of events happened. We stayed pretty focused and just kind of concentrated on par. And behind us, some teams had struggled a little bit, and we ended up on top.
Did Reed know what he needed on the 18th?
No, he didn't know. We didn't. We thought, you know, he was on in two, and a three-putt was pretty much going to be easy going for Reed. So, you know, he had no idea, and that's probably the way we'd want it anyways.
Was Reed struggling? Obviously, coming back with an 80, he's a better golfer. I think he would tell you that.
Yeah, I think, you know, he just struggled a little that day and had a couple bad shots and took some big scores on a couple holes. But, you know, it wouldn't have been for them. You know, that happens in golf. You 18 holes if you're hoping to fight for top in the medalist place and you take a bad hole. And, you know, that's all it takes. But he's, you know, seventh place finish and, you know, at 4 years, the teams that he's played on qualified for state, 2 state titles, a state individual medalist, and, you know, a state champion himself, so he's had a pretty good career at Sutton.
Steve, when you're breaking down your second, third, fourth golfers, did you have a rotation every year or all this whole year? I mean, those guys all shot 161, pretty close together.
You know, our number four, Daniel Van Kirk, stepped up huge at the state meet. He'd been kind of an 85 golfer, pretty average at that, and, you know, he had a 78 the first day and I think an 82 the next day, so you know, them extra strokes we needed really came from him that day. Everybody else kind of right around their average. Dustin Scheidemann, you know, him and Reed battle for that one position all year. So our 1, 2, 3, and 4 have been pretty good all year. Our number five, Sam Greese, is you know, as a solid five as you're going to get in any team, you know, and so we had five guys that could win us a championship if they put it together, and you know, that was the great thing about it, is we had five guys we could depend on.
Steve Bramer with us, head coach, state champion Sutton Mustangs, for just another minute here. As you told me yesterday, these kids have been together and have played all the sports together their whole career. But I got to ask you, earlier in the week you told us about having some success over here in Kearney before. Are you guys going to move the regular Sutton High School invite over here, or what's going on?
Yeah, that'd be nice. We'd like to do that, get a little more practice time there. But now, you know, they're confident. When you win one there before, you know, really helps the confidence. And, you know, golf may not be a physically tasking sport, but it is a, you know, a pretty mental game. So
little confidence doesn't hurt a bit.
Well, it's not physically tasking if you shoot in the 70s, but you know.
Well, yeah, if you're out there with me, then it's pretty physical tasking. But if you're out there with them guys, it's not too bad.
Steve, before this state tournament, I think there was a lot of tension on Clues, on Reinertsen, on Dowling, a Kearney Catholic. Where did you guys think coming into this tournament you were?
Well, I think that, you know, our district prepared us pretty well for this tournament because, you know, having given Kearney Catholic and Hastings St. Cecilia and us all in the same district, you know, that was a state battle right there. And we figured those same teams are going to be coming right at us. And then Plainview coming in, we knew that they were going to be tough. So, you know, those four teams are pretty much the four teams that, one of those being us, that we knew probably, you know, about halfway through the season, that was the four teams it was going to be. And that's what it came down to. And we were just, you know, that really came down to that we felt like we had a pretty good 4-5 and that any moment we could depend on those guys. And, you know, and that's that really, you know, really stepped it up for us. I think that, like I said, on 14, we weren't too sure. And yeah, 17, Lance Sponsberg made about a 30-foot putt for eagle. And you know, I think it's just kids focusing on what they could do and not what everybody's doing behind us that really helped out.
You know, everybody focuses, Doug, on the 3-footer guy we missed. That cost us a stroke. They don't talk about the 30-foot eagle putt that went in. Yeah, it doesn't lip out that would have cost a state chair, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think everybody says, you know, you win a state title, you got to have a couple things go your way. And, you know, when you're sinking a 30-footer on the 17th green after you probably were unwise to begin with to take an iron out of the rough from 200 and some yards out just to find the green, and then you hit it and sink a 30-footer, you had a few things go your way. But, you know, Lance is kind of one of those kids that he's willing to go for it, and he did, and that's what we needed at the time.
There was somebody reportedly in the crowd down there that was going, "What are you doing? You don't hit an iron out of the..." And then, "Great putt, kid, great putt." Stevie, we'll let you go. It's a great way to start enjoying the summer. I know these kids, talking with Coach Sponberg, they're going to have another great baseball season, and congratulations to the kids once again.
You bet. Take care.
Steve Raymer joining us here, the head coach at Sutton. All of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, taken care by our friends at BK Burger King with two locations in Kearney. Also Cozad, Lexington, and North Platte. On a warm summer day, try the perfect drink to keep you going all day long, a real fruit smoothie with real fruit, low-fat yogurt, and made fresh to order in the kitchen at BK. The final individual results there in Class C were Mitchell Clues winning it by 6 over second place Riley Reinertsen. Michael Hannon of St. Cecilia had the low round yesterday with a 73. He finishes in a tie for third. Reed Wiebe of Sutton was 7th. Kearney Catholic's Tyler Dowling tied for 8th. And Colin Petrie tied for 10th. St. Paul's Riley Northrup finished in a tie for 13th. And that puts a ribbon. And a week from Saturday is a Shrine Bowl, Daddy.
I know they've moved that around, hoping to get more interest and more kids to play, especially Division I recruits. But it's coming up and coming up on us fast. And it's football practice starts the week after that for everybody.
Something like that. Now, I have to admit that as I was driving up here for the show this morning in my small break from work, there were kids out throwing the football at Kearney High on the practice field.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's a week after school.
Well, it's unsupervised. There's like 5 kids. I think it was just a reason to run around with their shirts off like you like to do.
Well, if I look like that, I would run around my shirt off.
Dirk Chatlin joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Omaha World Herald. He's been busy covering what's going on in the Big Ten and keeping an eye on what's going on with the Huskers. Follow his blog on the World Herald website at omaha.com/sports. And Dirk, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
You guys could drive some serious interest in your show if you did it shirtless, I think.
Well, then we'd have to put in the webcams, and I don't think anybody wants anything to do with that. And by the way, it is a Penn State 1, Nebraska nothing as Penn State bats in the bottom of the second inning. Dirk, what was the most sickening about the baseball game yesterday? Scoring 7 in one inning and not winning, or just continually throwing breaking balls down the middle of the plate?
Well, baseball is a crazy game. I mean, it's you string that many hits together in the second or in the ninth inning, and then you still reach the point where, you know, you still need one more, and they just couldn't get that one more. So that was a pretty maddening, you know, a pretty maddening situation, and a huge, huge game for Nebraska and their chances of, you know, winning this thing. I mean, at this point, it's basically impossible. So. You don't want to count them out completely, but that was a fairly disappointing baseball season. You know, when you consider the expectations that the program and the fans had coming into it, you know, to finish fourth in the Big Ten and not win the Big Ten tournament there's really no other way to put it. I mean, that's a disappointment.
Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'm sure that Erstad sits down there and they talk with Ted Silva and Will Bolt and they talk about if the hitting remains the same and you got four or five pitchers, those guys are going to have to be junior college kids, Dirk, and contribute immediately, aren't they?
Well, it's a pretty glaring weakness with the team right now, and it's hard to know exactly, you know, what pitching staffs are going to look like because they change so much year to year, you know, based on the draft and recruiting, and you can do all sorts of different things to sort of overhaul a staff, you know, moving guys around. But yeah, they've got to figure something out. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, the bats were good enough, you know, were good enough this year to give them a chance, and they just could not find the pitching to get it done. And you know, you finally find a number one guy in Kubot, and he, you know, he struggled too. So it was a pretty, you know, a pretty glaring weakness when you assess the program in year one with Erstad.
Dirk Chatelain of the Omaha World Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Did they invent this job for Jamie Williams?
I think so. This is you know, when you look at the job description, I don't think it was something that they probably would have given to anybody else. And, you know, Jamie Williams has always been a really interesting personality and has always had a lot of charisma and some really unique experiences in the professional world. You know, not only being a pro, you know, being a 49er for 10 years and, you know, being a part of championship teams, but you know, he was in acting and, you know, film and stuff like that, and now he's, you know, sort of part of putting this athletic department together at a, you know, small college in San Francisco, in the San Francisco area. So he's a really intriguing guy, you know, from an administrative executive standpoint, because I think he really does have some potential leadership qualities that would serve Nebraska well. In my opinion, he becomes the front runner for in terms of the obvious candidates, which would be, you know, Trev Alberts and Paul Myers are the ones that everybody always talks about. I think Jamie Williams is right with those guys, if not slightly ahead of those guys, you know, in terms of the pecking order for potential successors for Tom Osborne. So that doesn't mean that they're not still going to do a national search, and I'm sure Harvey Perlman, you know, still intends to do a national search, but I have a feeling that Tom Osborne would not have made this hire unless he thought that Jamie Williams might be the next AD.
I got a feeling he would not have made that hire if the end wasn't sooner rather than later as well, right, Dirk?
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess it depends on how long, if there is a grooming period, how long, you know, Tom Osborne thinks that a grooming period needs to last. I mean, I could see it being, you know, probably as little as a year. I could see it being as long as 3 years. So I think we're probably looking at a timeline between 1 and 3 years, depending, you know, on some facilities projects, depending on maybe the success of the football program, things like that. But I think we're getting down to the point here with Osborne where things are going to start to happen sooner rather than later, probably.
Chat with Dirk Chatelain of the Omaha World Herald here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Dirk, when this baseball season and track season, I guess, we're past the conference, but we're basically done with the first athletic year in the Big Ten Conference. The most recent thing that we could talk about here is the baseball tournament being so strange, unless you're the number one seed and win three times, you love it. What have we learned in this first year in the Big Ten Conference? You're coming off the meetings in Chicago. What stood out to you in year number one?
Well, from a competitive standpoint, Nebraska has some work to do. And, And I think basketball and baseball were sort of caught in transition. You know, they performed lower than what the expectations were for the most part because those programs were not necessarily prepared, you know, to compete at a high level. I mean, the basketball program was sort of at the bottom, and there's going to be a natural transition there. And the baseball program was sort of, you know, starting to come up from the bottom, so it wasn't quite ready there either. But, you know, when you look at those two in the football program, I think it's fair to say that it was a disappointing year, and Nebraska did not do, you know, what a lot of its fans expected, what a lot of people around the Big Ten expected. And, you know, that's going to be, I said it a week ago, where, you know, when you put the scrapbook together of the first year of the Big Ten, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot in that scrapbook. I mean, you might just want to pitch the whole thing and start over this coming year. So, you know, I think it's a really competitive league as far as parity. You know, I think you have a lot of athletic departments who are very committed, you know, with the exception of baseball, which that's still to be determined how committed those programs are. But, you know, with football and basketball, there's a lot of programs, a lot of schools that are committed, and they're financially invested, and their fan bases are passionate. And from that standpoint, it's going to be, you know, Nebraska's really going to have to be good, you know, to win the league or to compete, you know, for NCAA tournaments, for instance, in basketball. So I think there's a lot of parity. I think there's still an opportunity at the top of the league, you know, even now with Ohio State and Michigan, if football gets it together to win the league, you know, once every 3-4 years. But it's going to, you know, Nebraska's going to have everything in line because, you know, unlike being in the Big 12 North, nothing's going to be given to it. So it's not an easy league to separate yourself, put it that way.
Dirk, I'm going to ask you the question that you asked everybody in the World Herald on Sunday in the best of Mad Chatter. What does the Big Ten want to do about a college football playoff? The Rose Bowl talk is out there that they're so in love with. Nebraska has trouble, and I think fans have trouble realizing how much the Rose Bowl means to these other schools because we really don't give a crap, I don't think, other than it's a great paycheck. It's the Rose Bowl. We don't think it's the granddaddy of them all. What do you personally think? Just give us an expanded view on the college football playoff and what you think the Big Ten should do in the interest of everyone, not just the Big Ten.
Well, I just, you know, before I try to answer that question and fail at it, I don't understand a scenario in which the Big Ten holds on to the Rose Bowl and we still fix the problem of what's wrong with college football's postseason. I mean, in my opinion, the Big Ten can't have it both ways because, you know, if you say, okay, every year it's going to be a Pac-10 or a Pac-12 Big Ten Rose Bowl, that in itself, by its very nature, you know, ruins the, you know, the integrity of a four-team playoff in which you're seeding the four teams and putting 1-4 and 2-3. I mean, you have an Ohio, let's say Ohio State's number one and Oregon's number two. You know, does Jim Delaney really want, you know, Ohio State and Oregon 1-2 to play in the Rose Bowl? And then to have, you know, the winner play, you know, the other semifinal winner 2 weeks later or whatever. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you can't have it both ways. If the Big Ten wants to make a stand and say, okay, the Rose Bowl is going to be our thing, we're not changing the nature of the Rose Bowl, then everybody else is going to have a very hard time coming to an agreement or coming to something that, you know, resembles a solution. And so it's concerning that although everybody has agreed in principle to a 14 playoff, that, you know, the particulars are still sort of getting in the way. And unless the Big Ten, you know, gives ground on the Rose Bowl, I'm not sure how this thing gets worked out, you know, in a way that satisfies everybody else. So I'm not sure how it looks. I think for it to really gain traction with everybody else in college football, the Big Ten you know, is going to have to give up that idea of a Big Ten Pac-12 Rose Bowl every year.
Dirk, I think everybody, like you just said, has agreed to the four-team deal. There's going to be three proposals basically put forth in front of everybody this summer yet, and then one will go from there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm here in June. You know, I'm here in like late June or June 20th or something like that is when, you know, they're going to get together and figure this thing out. So, but you know, you hear okay, it's down to three things, or it's down to, you know, a month ago we heard it was down to three proposals, and now, you know, there's stuff coming out every day that okay, this is back on the table, or this is off the table, or, you know, it's, I'm not sure who's making these decisions, but I don't get the sense that we're much closer to figuring it out than we were 2 months ago. And the conference realignment issue with Florida State potentially leaving for the Big 12, you know, further destabilizes, you know, the negotiations on the playoff, I think, because people are going to want to wait and see, you know, what happens in these conference realignment talks. I mean, you don't want to make promises to the ACC and Big East, for instance, and then have their football programs, you know, their football leagues be so far down that they're not competitive. So there's a lot of things still in the air, and while it's supposed to be figured out here in the next month, I'm not sure we're getting any closer. I think if anything, we're maybe getting farther away.
Dirk Chatelain, Omaha World Herald. Last question I got for you, Dirk, is Phil Steele's all-conference teams, including the Big Ten, released within the last 24 hours. And I know this isn't the end-all, do-all, but it gives you a pretty good start when we get to media days this summer. The number of Nebraska defensive players on the first or second team of the Bo Pelini team, zero.
Isn't it fascinating the change in perception or reputation for Nebraska, and specifically Nebraska's defense, you know, from last year to this year? That 12 months ago, the three best defensive players in the Big Ten were supposed to be blackshirts. And now, you know, nobody's given them any credit whatsoever. Now, while on one hand you look at that and say, well, that's a red flag, that's really a cause for concern, and I do think there is something to that. I do think there's reason to be concerned about Nebraska's defensive playmakers. On the other hand, there's a serious opportunity for the program right now and for Pelini and his defensive coaches, and I imagine they're probably taking full advantage of it, and that's by saying, hey, nobody thinks you're any good. You know, everybody thinks that you're going to go out and give up 40 points a game, and have they forgotten what we established and what we've built here? I think you're probably going to see some of that as a motivational tactic, you know, in the next couple months, and it should be. I mean, frankly, it should be. I mean, it's pretty alarming, or catches my eye a lot, that how much the expectations have dropped for Nebraska's defense in the last 12 months.
Dirk, we always love to pick your brain and get a minute of your time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, tell me real quick how this playoff thing is going to get figured out, in your opinion.
Well, I love the idea of the extra game the week after. But if you're going to keep the whole bowl system, I think that's a trickle-down effect that not only figures into the BCS games, but goes back further than that, isn't it?
You're saying that...
I'm saying if you take the if you're going to keep the rose, the sugar, and the orange and the fiesta and keep those, you're going to be pushing teams. I think you're moving it further down than just affecting those teams, aren't you? For the extra one, or is it just going to affect two of those games a year?
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to affect more than that game. You follow what I'm saying? When you start affecting, if you're only going to affect two of those games the first year, are you going to flip it to the other two? I mean, how's that going to go back and forth to keep the fairness for those bowl games, if you're going to keep the money with those bowl games?
Yeah, it's just, you know, in a perfect world, I think you have, I mean, it comes back to how do you have it both ways, you know, and people want to legitimize college football's postseason and yet they want to maintain the tradition of the bowls. And I think it just creates a lot of problems. It's like, you know, it's like saying, hey, we're going to move downtown Kearney to the south, you know, south side of town. I mean, it's, how do you do that? And I don't know. I think it creates more problems, you know, than solutions when you're trying to incorporate the bowl system into the playoff. And I think in a perfect world, you just blow the whole thing up and you say, hey, these four teams are going to be separate and they're going to play, you know, the semifinals. They're going to play either on campus sites or at neutral sites in games that are created fresh, you know, right now for specifically for a playoff, apart from the rose, the orange, you know, the sugar, all that, and the playoff is just going to be separate. I mean, I think that's the way to go, but nobody else is going to be willing to do that just because of the sort of the obsession with the bowl.
Well, the one thing that I've brought up, and I haven't heard a whole lot of Dirk, is whether you add two more games that don't even exist now, and you keep all the bowl games, whatever. The national semifinal needs to be played the week between Christmas and New Year's, and then the national championship game if they want to keep it middle of January. You've got to have a couple of weeks in there. There's no need. I mean, you've already got 40 to 50 days off for these major football conferences before they get to a bowl game. Let's get those semifinals played. There's no reason not to get those semifinals played, and then let's give them the 2 weeks to get prepared and scout and healthy and go again.
That's exactly right. The last thing you want to do is have a 40-day or a 35-day wait between the end of the regular season and the semifinals, and then turn these kids around and play 7 days later, you know. Play the championship game 7 days later, you're going to have the losing coach of that national championship game sitting up there at the press conference and saying, you know what, we just weren't prepared. You know, we were not prepared for a game on this quick of a turnaround, you know, this important of a game. So I agree with you. I think the timing is pretty important on how they work that out.
I don't know if you go back to the SEC and have a B game to let those four teams play off against one another or what.
It all will change. It all will change when the Big Ten rules all. Hey, Dirk, we'll let you get to lunch and enjoy your Memorial weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Same to you guys. See you later.
Take care. Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We need to take a break. Kurt Cavan, Indianapolis Star, talking Indy 500 when we come back.
Now at Lowe's, get new flooring installed throughout your entire home for just $397 with the purchase of laminate flooring, $2.98 per square foot or more. Plus, choose 18-month special financing of purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Or upgrade your cabinets. The more you spend, the more you save with our tiered offer on special order models, plus save 20% on in-stock cabinets. Lowe's never stop improving. Offer valid through May 28th. Special financing can't be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Yo, what's up? Right Brand Bacon here. I'm the bigger, better bacon. Bacon that makes a bold statement. We're talking major slices of thick, meaty bacon. I'm so big you could serve me to the presidents on Mount Rushmore. When I'm on the grill sizzling, I smell so incredible, it attracts guys faster than a half-price bikini car wash. I'm so tender.
Right
so
Brand Bacon. Bigger, better bacon. Find out more at biggerbetterbacon.com.
So, it was a Friday night. One of my buddies wanted to play pool, the other wanted to go grab a bite to eat, and me, well, I just wanted a cold beer and some good entertainment. So to keep everyone happy, we went to Cunningham's Journal. It's like three places in one. Upstairs is the loft where you can play pool and listen to some good tunes. Outside is the courtyard where they have live entertainment every week. And inside, there are a bajillion TV screens with all the games any sports fan can handle. Great food and, of course, the coldest beer in town. So problem solved. Everyone's happy. Thanks to Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Losing an irrigation system this summer could be costly. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, they offer replacement cost coverage for center pivot irrigation systems on qualifying units. Replacement cost coverage allows you to purchase a new system or parts subject to policy provisions and reducing the need to search for outdated parts or to wait for used systems to become available. To learn more, contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partial sunshine possible throughout the day today. Chance for scattered showers and storms. Highs will top out near 74 degrees. Winds northwesterly, 5 to 15 miles per hour. I'm Weather Eye Meteorologist Phil Jensko. Right now, 63. Hey, hey.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our ESPN Superstation.com poll question: which team did you think had a better chance from coming 3-2 down? You took the 76ers, 67% to the Pacers, 33%. Daddy, today's question to get you more points for the Hy-Vee Rewards Fan Club and just to have some fun. You can pick up tickets to RFA, Kansas City Royals Baseball, Kearney Raceway Park, food from Cunningham's and Hy-Vee Deli Pizza, all that and more. What should Major League Baseball do with instant replay? Keep it to review home runs only, or expand it to fair foul, trap balls, fan interference, things like that?
I think you just got to keep it to that. The human element's been part of the game. Blown calls are part of the game. I don't know. I don't think you're going to start, you know, in football, when you review things, come on, let's get it going. I mean, I'm watching NFL football going, well, I'm planning on drinking beer all afternoon anyway. It doesn't matter if it takes another 3 minutes to me.
Good God.
Well, I'm serious. Everybody's like, I wish they'd get out there and play the damn game. Well, just have another cool one and relax. By the way, you brought up that Hy-Vee Rewards Club. I mean, you get text messages from today, Coke products 4 for $10, 12 packs of Coke products, 4 of them for $10. That's valid only today, but it's at Hy-Vee, and all you got to do is pull your phone out and show the cashier this text. Boom goes the dynamite. That's an excellent price.
It's like free.
It's like you're stealing. It really is. Like going to Bruce Furniture. It's like taking a picture of your old furniture, taking it in and showing them. They've got a growing demand for people with good used items. You want new furniture. Plus, you get rid of that old stuff, and they give you something for it. They're not talking about junk. They're talking about pieces of stuff, some life in them. But get them that picture, bring it in. They'll give you top dollar for it. They've got high demand. Good condition, nothing from shit. But just bring it in a picture. They'll settle it for you. Trade it in now, Bruce Furniture. Kearney, Holdridge, Hastings, Alliance, just right for you. Bruce Furniture. Mike and the gang down there are waiting, whether you're looking for a new bedroom set or looking for a new living room set. They've got it for you.
I know they've got great folks that work in the delivery department. Dave's probably going to take some down to Coach Erstad, you know, because it's been a long season. He's going to have to relax. Nebraska, after three innings, it's 1-0 Penn State at the Big Ten Tournament. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. It's just right for you, Danny.
It is just right for me. Just right for me. I love Bruce Furniture. They do a great job down there, and stop down and see him.
Indy 500 is rapidly approaching, and I'll tell you what, Daddy, it's another one of those kind of niche sports. You get ready for the Kentucky Derby. Even if you're just a moderate sports fan, you do the same thing for the Indianapolis 500, and it gears up again this weekend.
Yeah, Kirk Cavan from the Indianapolis Star joins us. He did a year ago. He has been following this deal every day that they've shown up at the track. Kurt, how are you this morning? Welcome back to our show.
Well, thanks, and good to be with you.
25 years on this beat. Has it ever got old, or does it get more exciting every day you go to the track?
Well, it's like covering a football team or a basketball team. They're mostly football, I guess. There are days when it rains, and that's not that enjoyable. But you always love the competition. The drivers are entertaining. Of course, they don't have football coaches to report to. They're kind of all independent contractors, so they kind of say whatever's on their mind. And, you know, there's always enough politics, too. So there's enough things to write about, talk about. No, I don't know that there are many days that I don't enjoy it still.
Kurt, when does people don't realize, people through like a NASCAR race, they show up that week or 10 days before and then they race. This deal starts, what, a month in advance?
Well, actually, you know, it's the focal point of the whole season.
Right.
You've really got people talking about it from really since the middle of last summer. But from a scheduling standpoint, it's probably more like the Daytona 500, where they start their, you know, it's like a 2-week run up, and people have tested there previously. It's pretty much 3 weeks of preparation in terms of being at the racetrack.
Kurt Cavan from the Indianapolis Star joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Kurt, everything I'm reading and trying to get prepped for the Indy 500 isn't so much about the drivers. It's about everything else that's going on, and that it wasn't overly crazy the last day, not a lot of bumping going on to try and find your place in the 33-car field. Is this a different year for the Indy 500?
Well, it is a little bit different because they switched the equipment. Since the end of last year. So since October, when the last race of the season was held, you've got new engines, new cars, and you've got a host of new problems that go with that. And just in terms of, you know, making sure the gearboxes fit, make sure the wings do what they're supposed to do. So there's a lot of new things in the sport, and the first four races of the season have all been on road courses or street circuits. So they've not been to an oval, and you know, so you're starting to uncover some of the issues that go behind starting up new. You know, NASCAR situation is that it kind of always is an evolution. So it doesn't have a year, or it hasn't had a year, where everything is brand new. We kind of saw that when they introduced the Car of Tomorrow, probably what, about 5 years ago. It wasn't so much that they didn't have enough cars. It was just there were some teething problems, and that's what we've seen in this Indy 500. But you still have 33 participants. You know, I would expect next year, if not to be talking about these kind of things, because there will be more equipment and more people are familiar with the cars.
Seems like Chevrolet has got it figured out more than the Hondas and everybody else. They've got 9 of the first 10 cars.
Well, they certainly got a faster car for qualifying, but like most things in sports, there's kind of two things to this race. One of them is finding your starting position. The other is actually racing 500 miles. So we'll have to, you know, having not had an oval track race this season, much less a race that goes 500 miles, you're going to learn a lot about durability, reliability, and then can you package the speed with it.
Kurt, Michael Andretti has 5 cars, added 2 cars to the normal lineup that they normally run. Is that correct?
He does. He has 5 cars, which is the most in this race.
Well, that, you know, those are the big names that keep drawing interest to this. When you've got Andretti's and you've got Ganassi team, you got Penske team, when you get the Foyts, those are the big names that have to keep coming to the sport. The more that they can put cars in, the better it is for the sport, right?
Well, it is. Then there's the other side of the argument that having too many cars from those teams will, you know, kind of shut out the little guys. But, you know, it's the good thing is that all those cars are really competitive. The bad thing is that they kind of shut out some of the smaller teams to some degree.
Kurt Cavan, Indianapolis Star, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Ryan Briscoe wins the pole. Tell us about him and his getting the pole and what that front row looks like.
Well, Briscoe's one of those guys that, you know, he first of all, he's an Australian, good-looking kid, certainly capable of winning the Indy 500, but has been overshadowed by his two teammates, Will Power, that's his real name, Will Power. He's won 3 of the first 4 races this season and has really been the best driver over the last 3 years. And then the other teammate is Elio Castroneves, who's won the Indy 500 3 times, has a chance, if he wins this race, to tie A.J. Foyt, Rick Mears, and Al Unser. Those are pretty heavyweight names in this sport as 4-time winners at Indianapolis. So Briscoe's just been overshadowed by his other two guys, but certainly capable of winning the race.
Now the rest on the front row, the other two cars, are those rookie drivers, or those aren't people that people recognize, are they?
Well, you might recognize the car that starts second. This is James Hinchcliffe's 2nd Indy 500. He's a Canadian from Toronto, but he's driving the car that last year, well, at least the sponsorship, because the car is brand new this year, but he's driving the sponsorship and for the team that Danica Patrick drove last year. Essentially, this is the ride that Danica Patrick stepped out of. They had intended to hire two-time Indy 500 winner Dan Weldon, and he was killed in the crash last year in October in Las Vegas. And James Hinchcliffe essentially was second choice, and he stepped into this ride very nicely and qualified in the second spot. So he'll be – it's funny. He showed up at the first race of the season wearing Danica Patrick's colors, and it even put a black wig on his head to make him look like Danica. It was very well received. He's got a great sense of humor. He'd be a great Indy 500 winner. But, yes, this is his second year in the sport, and the other one is a driver by the name of Ryan Hunter-Reay, who also drives for Michael Andretti's team. And Ryan Hunter-Reay is married to Robbie Gordon's sister. So he actually, with Robbie Gordon's sister even being a big-time off-road racer, Ryan might be the third-best driver in that family.
It's a rough gig. A couple minutes left here with Kirk Cavett, Indianapolis Star. Well, you brought up a couple of names that I wanted to address with you. First, Danica Patrick, she's not there. Is that a big deal? And second, is there anything special tribute-wise planned for Dan Weldon?
Well, first to Danica, it certainly has not been as much of a conversation piece this year as I would have expected. I think people who follow this sport were pretty much ready to talk about other people. The good thing about Danica is she brought so much attention to the sport. The bad thing is she brought so much attention to herself as opposed to everyone else. Now maybe we can talk about the Hinchcliffes and the Ryan Briscoes and the other drivers in this race. And then a part about Dan Weldon, the tribute, kind of the biggest one, is every person at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which is about 250,000 people on Sunday, will be wearing white sunglasses to kind of replicate one of his favorite traits. He was a European who loved his white sunglasses and white shoes. Several drivers will be wearing white shoes in the race. A two-time winner. He was pretty special, and we've certainly missed him. His picture is on the ticket. And on the laps of the two cars' numbers, which he won, lap 26 and lap 98, there'll be kind of a moment of silence as the cars go around. Of course, it won't be silent, but among the grandstands, at least some remembrances of him on those two laps.
Kurt, I'm looking down the list of the 33 drivers, and not being an overzealous fan of the sport, but I have been to the Indy 500. I usually recognize a lot of the names. How many of these guys are new, first-time rookies starting in this race?
There are actually eight, and there are four more who haven't been in either in some time or last year in particular. There's much more of a Formula One influence this year. I think there are five or six drivers who have been in Formula One in the past, including two of the real strong racers in Formula One history. Rubens Barrichello was Michael Schumacher's teammate. John Alesi won races for Ferrari back in the 90s. So there are 12 essentially new faces in this race. You know, it's like horse racing. Your analogy to the Derby is pretty good. You don't always know the horses, but if you'll watch long enough, you'll start to develop a connection with some of them. And there are some really interesting characters in this race as well.
Well, Kurt, you mentioned a lot of names already, and Will's been hot. Do you have a favorite for the race this weekend?
Well, I think this shapes up as Marco Andretti's kind of race, and he's, you know, for a third-generation driver, I think his name would go a long way to winning the 500 and boosting the event, a race his father did not win, but his grandfather did in 1969. Of course, the rivalry story, if we had Graham Rahal, the son of Bobby Rahal, and Marco Andretti in a duel late in the Indy 500, that's about as much as this sport could ask for.
Kurt Cavan from the Indianapolis Star. And Kurt, if you're going to give us one name out of those Formula One drivers that you like, is it Michael Schumacher's teammate?
Yeah, Rubens Barrichello has done very well. He'll start 10th in this race, and he's a class act. Great. What he can't believe is how nice everyone is here in the U.S. He's used to all the egos and arrogance of Formula One. He can't believe that people actually kind of enjoy being around the drivers, and the drivers enjoy each other. One of the camera guys actually took a picture inside Rubens' car, and he went crazy. He said, you would never allow that in Formula One, but
you know, it's there's not a lot of secrets here, and people get along, and we're just good American friendly here, he believes.
And so is Kurt. Kurt Cavan from the Indianapolis Star. We appreciate your time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the race. And hopefully we can chat again soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Kurt. And Indianapolis 500 coming up this Sunday. Hope you enjoy it among the many other items that are going to be going on with Big Ten baseball and the NBA and NHL playoffs continuing. And the NBA playoffs continuing tonight and throughout the weekend, games Saturday and Sunday, including the start of the Spurs-Thunder series Sunday night here on ESPN.
Pretty sure you'll be not worried about the Big Ten baseball tournament after today for some reason.
Yeah. We'll give you an update here coming out of our last break. A couple things from a personal standpoint I want to mention. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. A name out there that I think some people will know. I don't know how many people in Kearney will know. Again, this will be an Ord connection. But because Ord was in the Central Plains Baseball League and has been and is for so many years, the smaller towns around here like the Shelton Gibbons, the Ravennas, the Loup Cities, know that John Young was the baseball coach at Ord for a number of years. He passed away this week. His services will be held tomorrow morning, and you can go to the obituary pages to find out all the information there. And a buddy of ours that we've worked with through tons of projects here in Kearney, Tim Holcomb, having a benefit for his family tomorrow night in Loup City. There are so many things that they're doing. He's got leukemia. He's been testing bone marrow transplants. He's been down in Texas. Folks, we've all known someone through all these cancer walks, through all these pink jerseys and all this that's going on, and just another great guy that has been affected by this. And if you talk to the folks at Loup City, if you go onto the website, if you Facebook it, there are so many different ways. You can go to youcaring.com and type in Tim Holcomb's name, and you can find out all the information you want. And they've got a four-leaf clover program to help donations to put in your pocket, to put on your lapel, to do what you want with. Just so many different things. But again, that benefit tomorrow night in Loup City for Tim Holcomb and his family. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Nebraska has tied up Penn State. It's 1-1 as they go to the bottom of the fourth, and we'll wrap it up after this.
Come into the Home Depot Memorial Day weekend and get 10% off any appliance priced at $397 or more. You know what a big difference that extra day of doing will make this weekend? Imagine the difference that 10% will make to your budget. Get trusted brands like GE, Maytag, and LG, and get them this weekend with 10% off. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Lincoln Financial presents the Chief Life Officer Business Update. The Debbie Carter Corporation has launched a new project management initiative.
I'm hosting a potluck and need to remind Alice to bring summer sausage and Karen to make her German chocolate cake.
Mmm, chocolate. This Chief Life Officer Business Update brought to you by Lincoln Financial, where your life is big business. Take charge at lincolnfinancial.com/CLO. Products and financial services provided by the Lincoln National Life Insurance Company, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and New York. Lincoln Life and Annuity Company of New York, Syracuse, New York.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. The Miami Heat win their second in a row to take a 3-2 lead.
Here's James driving the lane, laying it in, and drawing the foul.
Now the Pacers return to Indianapolis and look to push the series to a decisive Game 7.
Good on the right wing, 10 straight points.
The Heat at the Pacers tonight at 7 o'clock on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Partial sunshine possible throughout the day today. Chance for scattered showers and storms. Highs will top out near 74 degrees. Winds northwesterly 5 to 15 miles per hour. I'm Weather Eye Meteorologist Phil Jensko.
Right now, 63.
Doug and Daddy's Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. I'm taking tomorrow off. Skip Barry's going to be in, co-hosted with Big Daddy. Shelly Smith joins us. Greg Hart, Nebraska recruit, joins us. Talk a little bit, obviously, hockey with the USHL draft just wrapping up, and what's coming up next for the Storm and a whole lot more, because it's here. It's here. It's time for me to go fill my spot in the last flight at the first major of the year.
You got to do it different. He's talking about the Ord Open.
How do I do it different? I'd have to practice and get better. And that hasn't worked in 25 years.
You have never tried to practice. You just play.
Oh, well, I've befuddled many folks.
The Dane Creek Classic, folks, going on this weekend in Ord. They love it up there. It is a huge event.
Can C.J. Farber repeat as champion? That's the big key. Or who will wear?
How many players?
Who will win the purple jacket?
120?
It's over 100. I don't know the exact number, but it's full from what I've understood. Actually, people waiting, which I know our group getting in and the folks from Kearney and that come from throughout our listening area have helped support that and always have a good time. Practice rounds tomorrow. Hope it's not too windy. Hope it doesn't rain too much. Let's don't rain during the tournament. You can kind of, like last night, perfect. Rain overnight. Those are the best kind. Overnight rain's perfect. Love those.
On Tuesday, your scores will be revealed.
Oh, God, they're going to be bad.
Well, that's fine.
They're going to be bad. There's too many trees and out of bounds.
Well.
You can't hit it two fairways over because there's no two fairways over. There's only like one hole that there's two fairways over.
Well, it was a pretty good time, but you've different year, different focus for you. We know you're going to shoot a 95 anyway, so let's just shoot it the first day. Usually, Doug comes in with something like, and it's a par 31.
No.
What is it?
No.
It's a par 30. So 60 is even par.
66, so, if you got to know.
Okay, 30, 66. So our own Doug Duda usually shoots about.
And it was nice to see that you finally caught some fish this week. So, you know, your long drought is over.
86.
And we'll talk about your hobby now. Are you going to go yank? Are you going to go yank some fish out of the water this weekend?
I'm going to try.
How's it been going out there? You've kind of been everywhere. You've been to Harlan, Johnson, Sherman. What's going on?
Pretty slow right now, really, for the central Nebraska. People going to McConaughey, I understand. I know there's been some hot days at Harlan. A lot of people fishing at Johnson Lake, catching a lot of small fish, but people are mad about that. So what do? You just enjoy the weekend. You enjoy the 75 to 90-degree weather, and hopefully the wind doesn't blow 40.
Well, it's supposed to be about low 90s on Saturday for the opening round with a chance of some wind. So, you know, it's going to be tough for me. It's going to be tough out there, but looking forward to see a lot of the gang, a lot of familiar faces, and having a good time this weekend. And folks, I hope that's what it's about for you. I know not everybody is going through great times right now because that's just the way of the world, and we talked about that in our last break. But enjoy it. Want to see you back here on Tuesday, safe, sound, and ready to hit the summer, feet running, and we're going to get into the Shrine Bowl next week and a whole lot more. You got the Wrestling Classic right around the corner. It won't be long. June and July are going to fly right by. Enjoy it, folks. And we want to thank our guests today, state championship golf coaches Steve Raymer of Sutton, Dan Bramer of Heartland Lutheran, Dirk Chatwin of the Omaha World Herald, Kurt Cavan of the Indianapolis Star to talk about the 500. Have fun tomorrow, Daddy.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.